Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to worship with you this morning here in person, and also if you're joining us online. If you are tired and yet need to drive home, is there a need to be concerned about that drive home? Well, the number of deaths related to falling asleep have a reported wide range. How many of those could have been prevented through proactive measures? Now, what does this have to do with our being together this morning? That's what we're going to be exploring as we seek to be refreshed through the word of our Lord. So I invite your attention now to the invocation on page 3 of our worship bulletin. God, our Father, each day is a gift of your grace. Guide our steps by the light of your word.
Shield us from harm and keep us from evil.
Better than life is your love.
Put joy in our hearts and praise on our lips. Hallelujah.
Praise be to God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Let us.
Thank you. Please stand. This I call to mind. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
I say to myself,
the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him.
The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion.
So great is his unfailing love.
For he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to the children of men.
Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord.
Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done, and we have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus. God, our merciful Father, has forgiven all our sins. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer and Savior. Jesus paid the penalty for our guilt by his death on the cross and freed us from death by his resurrection from the grave. We have peace with God now and forever.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us give glory to God, our light and our life. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, so rule and govern our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may always look forward to the end of this present evil age and to the day of your righteous judgment. Keep us steadfast in true and living faith, and present us at last holy and blameless before you. As we turn our attention to the word of our Lord, to help our focus, Psalm 119. Your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Your faithfulness continues through all generations. You establish the earth, and it endures.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth.
How
We're at the second Sunday of end time in our church here, and the emphasis for the second Sunday of end time is on the judgment. And so a reading from Holy Scripture from Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, reminding us that now is the time to put on God's word and to keep it on. Awake, awake, Zion, clothe yourself with strength. Put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem, the holy city. The uncircumcised and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust. Rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem. Free yourself from the chains on your neck, daughter Zion, now a captive. For this is what the Lord says. You were sold for nothing, and without money you will be redeemed. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. At first my people went down to Egypt to live. Lately Assyria has oppressed them. And now what do I have here, declares the Lord? For my people have been taken away for nothing, and those who rule them mock, declares the Lord. And all day long my name is constantly blasphemed. Therefore my people will know my name. Therefore in that day they will know that it is I who foretold it. Yes, it is I. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now is not a time for sleep. The Apostle Paul reminds us of this in our reading from Holy Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. We join together. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Be watchful, be ready, stand firm in your
I invite you to stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, encouragement to keep our lamps trimmed from having the light go out. At that time, the kingdom of heaven would be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now turn to our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace remain ours in great abundance from God our Father and also through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the scriptures this morning. Turning back to these words written down by the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Back to that opening question, how many deaths could have been avoided or prevented by not going or staying behind the wheel when feeling drowsy? Well, we most likely won't be able to determine that answer. Our state recognizes that it's a problem that needs to be addressed, as there are electronic billboards along the freeway recognizing and pointing out, if you feel drowsy, pull over. So it is a real problem. And to say it will not happen to me, well, sadly we know that that could lead to a senseless and tragic death. How many spiritual deaths could be avoided if only people did not reject or turn away from Jesus? The way to become awake and to stay awake, well, is right in front of everyone. Yet people ignore it for a variety of reasons. People can fall into the trap of thinking, we know better. Thus, the encouragement before us, it's not new in encouragement, but it is encouragement that we need to hear time and time again. And that encouragement is simply this: now is not the time to fall asleep. And I'm not talking about the sermon. Now is not the time to fall asleep, keeping in mind that we have been called out of sleep. For that is our status, our condition by nature. We're all spiritually asleep. That is one of the impacts of the fall into sin. That people are conceived and born in sin and are under the wrath of God, are spiritually dead to God, not awake. And we cannot awaken ourselves into a relationship with Jesus. There's not a natural connection that takes place. That's the inherited sinful nature, or also called original sin. The impact it has on everyone, and thus the urgency behind Jesus' words before us today, and also when he was ascending up into heaven and reminded his disciples of their charge to go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing and teaching them. Because by nature, people are asleep. And we give evidence day in and day out, active evidence, that we are spiritually asleep to Jesus, as by nature we live lives that are self-centered, self-focused. And how many people do you know live life like life is always going to continue as is? Like the end will never come. But that's nothing new. The Apostle Peter addressed that too. Where is this end that you believers talk about? And so they scoff at us. And how many people live like they will always have their health? They will always have their wealth? They will always have their family? They're spiritually asleep in thinking that. And the warning then is not just that we are asleep, but that we don't fall back asleep for those who have been awakened. That we don't become indifferent to the will and ways of God. That we don't become apathetic. And isn't that one of the major things that we continue to deal with in our society, is indifference to the Word of God and apathy, an attitude of apathy, not just toward the Word of God, but it seems to also be evident in how we view things in society today. We're living dangerously. But thankfully, we don't have to remain in that spiritual sleep, thanks to God's mercy and His grace. He awakens us by His grace. And He uses His means of grace to do just that, to keep us connected. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Jesus can say that to us as His children because He has connected us to Him, has awakened us through His means of grace, baptism, in the gospel, in the word itself. He has called us into the light, into the way, which is Himself. For He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the light that lights the way through this life. And so He reminds us in Scripture time and time again how important it is for us to be connected to His means of grace, because on our own we cannot awaken. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so praise God for the work of the Holy Spirit through the means of grace, that He has woken you up from your spiritual sleep and called you into His marvelous light and way. And at the heart of that saving way, at the heart of the light that Jesus is His work of salvation. Where we know and don't want to take for granted what he had to do as part of that salvation. To live an active life of obedience, which is required of us, but we fail to do because while we try to stay awake, sometimes we end up falling asleep. And for all the other sins that we commit in our thoughts and in our words and our actions, all of that Jesus had on His mind as He was living here on this earth, living that life of obedience so that He could be that innocent, perfect sacrifice that was necessary on the cross. Because He knew along with His Father that you and I, our death would merit nothing for ourselves or for the entire world. But He knew that His death would. And so we give thanks that Jesus took that innocent life to the cross, where He paid in full for each and every one of our sins, past, present, and yet to be committed. And it's because of that act of righteousness that Jesus has done for us on the cross and sealed by His rising from the tomb that we don't have to be afraid of the judgment to stand before God either individually or collectively, because we have been awakened by the call of the Holy Spirit through the means of grace. Now, Jesus, we recognize, as Paul emphasizes and reminds us here, that Jesus died for all. Whether people are believing in Him or not, He died for all. Now, those who believe, they receive the benefits of what He has done. If you're awake, you're alert to what's going on. If you're asleep, you're oblivious. And God reminds us that He does not take pleasure in the death of anyone. He wants everyone to come to a knowledge of His truth and be saved. And so He presents His truth before us so that all can come into the light, so that all can be spiritually awake and stay awake. And the way then for us to stay awake is to keep active. For now is not the time to fall asleep. The end is coming. And so we are encouraged to stay alert. The end is coming. Well, it could come today, collectively. It could come individually on your way home. Well, we pray that's not the case, and yet we also give thanks that you are ready if that were to be the case. It could come this week. It could come next month. It could come 100 years from now. But the point is that we still need to be ready. And we have been given what we need to be ready. For not only has the Holy Spirit awakened us through the means of grace, He keeps us awake through the means of grace. We're also reminded of in this section to not get caught up in trying to figure out the exact day or time or way Jesus is coming. What do we know? That it's going to come like a thief in the night. And so we shouldn't get all caught up in world events. Like, is this now the sign of the end? Well, yeah, it's a sign of the end, but if it's the end itself, oh, you'll know. It's not just going to come prancing in. It's going to come full force in. But all these events that happen in the world that we're hearing about in the news and that frighten us at times, well, it's all part of the signs that Jesus said would happen as a result of sin in the world. And that, yes, the end is going to come for you individually and or collectively for us all at one time. But instead of being afraid of it, we look forward to it. We don't hasten it, but we don't have to be afraid of it. Because we are awake in Jesus. Now, how do we stay awake again? Recognizing that we have been called into the light, and He who has called us into the light has given us His light to keep us in that light. He encourages us here to live self-controlled lives, to not get all caught up in being all over the place mentally and physically and emotionally and spiritually, but to stay focused on Him and to live the life that He has called us to live, to not get drunk, but to remain sober, to not have our senses dulled. In that picture of the helmet then, protecting our head, our mind, our brain, because who's trying to influence us mentally? Well, the devil, our own sinful flesh, and the unbelieving world. And so Jesus reminds us here through Paul, keep that helmet on, that helmet of salvation. Don't allow your senses to be dulled. Always stay alert to what is trying to pull you away from Jesus and to get you to fall asleep. And He encourages us to keep trusting in His promises. Promise after promise that He is with us always, that He provides for us, that He cares for us, that He will deliver us unto Himself. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And so as we focus in on His promises, that helps grow that trust and our faith in Him. Putting God's will into practice helps us stay alert. Staying in touch with His Word so we continually learn what His will is for us. And then also have the motivation to keep putting that will into practice. That's that love that comes from the heart. For again, God doesn't want robotic praise. He wants heartfelt praise. In view of His mercy, we are to offer ourselves as living sacrifices. Whatever we do in the name of the Lord Jesus, whether it be in the home, in the workplace, out in society, here at church, that's part of our act of worship. That's our heart in action. And so we put that breastplate on to protect the heart. Because again, who's after our heart? The devil, our sinful flesh, the unbelieving world. And so God has given us a way to protect our heart from being influenced by such, His very Word. And it's that Word then that sustains us in faith and love. And what does that sustenance of faith and love lead to? Hope. Not with a small H, uncertainty, but with a capital H, certainty. That we know that Jesus lives, and because He lives, we too shall live. And we know that Jesus is coming back again, this time as judge of both the living and the dead. And we don't have to live in fear of that. And so what else are we encouraged to do in these words? For now is not a time to fall asleep. We are to encourage others to do the same. Formally, like we're doing here, gathering together in worship, knowing that we are together with like-minded people, not just here in this place, but throughout the world by the grace of God, that there are other like-minded people who have been called into the light and who recognize that Jesus is the light and strive to live that light in their lives day in and day out and are not afraid of the judgment. And so your worship attendance benefits not just you from hearing the word of God, it also benefits your brothers and sisters who are here with you to hear that word of God. You are a source of encouragement. Remember Elijah? What was one of his sad moments? Lord, am I the only one left? But when we're gathered together, we're reminded, no, God be praised. And then we also are to encourage other people informally when we're outside of these walls by the life we live, setting the example, encouraging them to live the life that God wants them to live, talking up the faith as we have opportunity to do so, setting up opportunities for such conversations. Literally here, Paul is saying, hey, you know, take someone aside and have a conversation with them. Put your arm around them. Maybe not literally today, but you get the picture. You don't force the conversation, but you're looking for those opportunities to talk about your faith, to talk about the hope that you have, to either help them come out of sleep or by not falling in back into sleep. So God, help us recognize the opportunities that are before us to not only be encouraged ourselves, but to encourage others. Now is not the time to fall asleep. What we need then in this area of life which matters most, well, we recognize it does not cause the heart to race. Rather, it causes it to come alive and to stay alive. So we can say then that Jesus, together with his means of grace, is the spiritual caffeine that we need. For now is not the time to fall asleep. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We join together in a confession of faith. It's on the top of page 9. We join together. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that I am not by my own making or choosing, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. That the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and
in the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith.
In this Christian church, daily and holy, forgives all sins to me and all believers. On the last day, he will raise me from all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ.
This is most certainly true. Please be seated.
Thank you.
We pray. Grant us, O Lord, to live each day in gladness and peace, without stumbling and without stain, that reaching the evenings victorious over all temptation, we may praise you, the eternal God, for you govern all things and are praised now and forever. Make us instruments of your peace where there is hatred, where there is injury, where there is doubt, where there is despair, where there is darkness, where there is sadness. O Lord, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love.
For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life.
Dwell in our homes, O Lord, and let the trust of our families be centered in you alone, so that no difficulty, trial, or adversity rob us of the conviction that you are our helper in every time of need. Relieve the afflictions of the weary and the sick, and dry the tears of the troubled and sorrowful. Lead them to look to you as the unfailing spring of healing and hope. Take our silver and our gold, not a mite would we withhold. Take our intellect and use every power as you shall choose. Take our love, O Lord, we pour, at your feet its treasure store. Take ourselves and we will be ever only all for you. We thank you, Lord, for those who are able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. As you have watched over them through life to this point, we trust you will continue to watch over them. The love between a husband and a wife is also a gift from you. May those couples among us able to celebrate this gift be renewed in their love for each other, reflecting this in their words and actions. Freedom is a privilege, O Lord, first of all from you by grace through faith in Jesus. Without your freedom, we would still be living in our sins and without the hope amidst sin's consequences. The freedoms you have granted our country are also a privilege. We thank you along with the men and women who have served and are serving our country, in order to secure and maintain the freedoms we are able to enjoy. May we not take for granted what these men and women have done and are doing in our behalf. Keep them in your care. And may we not take for granted the freedom you have given to us in Jesus. Lord, we also ask that you refresh the body and mind of Janet Heyer, who was in need of medical attention this past week. Not only refresh her body as you will for her, above all, continue to refresh her mind and heart with the reminder that this health challenge does not change her status with you through Jesus. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Thank you.
O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation, and bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
For our Bible study this morning, we're looking at God's hand throughout history, continuing our look at that topic, and we do see God's hand throughout, and if we're not seeing it, this will be a good time to be refreshed in how we can see it. Just direct your attention to the weekly news for things that are going on here at church and school, opportunities to volunteer. They have the live nativity coming up, and we're still looking for a few volunteers to help out with that. And also then we have the all-member, new-member brunch coming up in December too. So there'll be a sign-up sheet that we'll have posted soon, so you can look for that. And before we get to the Wells connection, just again a show of appreciation to our veterans among us. Thank you for your service, and for those actively serving, let's give them a round of applause. Thank you. Oh, there's something else. I'm sorry.
My classmate gives for the veterans.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Thank you. Please see Hannah in the back.
Hi, I'm Wells President Mark Schrader. The most common way that teachers in our Lutheran schools are educated and prepared for the ministry is a 4 or 5 year degree from Martin Luther College soon after high school. But for returning adult learners who have an interest in teaching in our Wells schools, Martin Luther College will soon be providing an additional exciting option.
Make sure you read all the directions and label your first circle.
Jenny Shaw teaches sixth grade at Bethlehem Lutheran School. But that hasn't always been the case.
I had a previous career. I was a dietitian for about 10 years. And I just realized after a few years that something was missing. And it just wasn't the career that I wanted to have for the rest of my adult life.
They have like one bigger gap. The other ones might have smaller gaps in between them.
Teaching, especially at a Lutheran elementary school like the one that she grew up in, was always something that she had interest in doing, but did not pursue it after high school.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father.
For me, teaching is intertwined with teaching in a Wells school. I couldn't imagine teaching without God's Word being a part of it. So I went to MLC's website and kind of realized that to be a teacher through MLC, I would basically have to move to New Ulm for 4 years, which just wasn't going to be realistic for me as an adult with payments and all kinds of financial stuff to do.
Jenny was able to find a different route in obtaining a teaching degree, license, and eventually ministry certification to teach in a Wells school. But for returning adult learners who already have a degree, like Jenny, Martin Luther College will soon be offering an alternative route to becoming a teacher that does not require relocation to New Ulm, Minnesota. It's called the Competency-Based Online Non-Traditional Education Program.
Currently at MLC, we primarily offer a face-to-face experience for traditional college-age students who are graduating from high school and coming right to MLC to pursue their path into the public ministry. The competency-based model, however, is designed specifically for returning adult learners or those who already have an associate's degree or bachelor's degree, and they've decided that they want to become a Wells teacher, and this is a pathway for them to complete the courses that are required to become a licensed teacher and be able to have their own classroom and be their own teacher in their own classroom.
What do we do if it's greater than 11.2?
Our Synod already has one way for non-MLC graduates to become Wells teachers. The Synod Certification Program allows people who already have a teaching degree to be certified to teach in Wells schools. The new competency-based education program is meant for adults who do not yet have a teaching degree. This new option is not meant to replace the current traditional program or the teacher certification program. It's intended to supplement those programs and provide a new source of teachers.
I've been on campus for several months now, and I would not dream of taking that away, right? It is a wonderful opportunity for those who are able to come to MLC and spend the time here. It is truly transformational in so many different ways.
However, with the teacher shortage that our Synod is experiencing, this additional option of preparing more workers for the harvest field is an important one.
We want to portray ourselves as being a stable school with teachers who want to be here, and they do. And they do want to be here, but when they're constantly getting calls and are considering other places to serve, that's a blessing, but it also can be destabilizing for an elementary school.
It isn't just one big weight.
Jenny Shaw admits that she is not one to make big decisions or take risks easily, such as changing careers. However, she's confident that her transition into teaching was all part of God's plan.
It always felt right. He was guiding me where he wanted to put me. So I never really doubted that it was all going to work out great. And it did. It's kind of everything I dreamed it would be. When I decided to go back to school,
adults who already have a degree, who are interested in the non-traditional education program at Martin Luther College, are encouraged to learn more about this new opportunity at mlc-wells.edu.